I wish Kristen was in here because I wanted to thank her for sharing when she was up here, because when I was preparing my message, I didn't understand why I had to share this. And now I know when Kristen got up here, there are things in here that go exactly with what I'm sharing. When you share, I'm like, who am I at this point to stand up here and share anything? But I pray that what I do share, that it settles in all of our hearts in just the right way God needs it to. It won't hit each and every one of us the same way, but I do feel it's from Him. So God, I thank You right now. Thank You, Lord God, for merging our hearts together in this place. Thank You, Lord God, for showing us what it means to truly surrender to You. God, we bow down to You today. We give up our agenda, our plans, our thoughts, or even what we thought our purpose was, God. We give it up to You now. And as Robert said, we just lay here and we say, God, have Your way, because this body is Yours. I am Yours, God. Lord, I pray that the message that You have given me, that You would just allow it to manifest even as I stand here, Lord God. Take me out of the way, Lord God. Help me to hear what You're saying today. And let the words that come out of my mouth be Yours and Yours only. God, I pray and ask You to forgive me. Forgive me for selfishness, Lord God. Forgive me for any of the sins that I've committed knowingly and unknowingly that would keep me, Lord God, from being all that You need me to be in this moment. I pray that Your people will receive from You, Lord. We bless You and we honor You and we praise You, Lord God, for being who You are, our Creator, our Father, our Physician, our Counselor, everything, Lord. There are titles that are not in the English language to describe who You are to us. And we thank You for that. We acknowledge that, God, in our limited vocabulary. All we can say is thank You and we love You. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Whew. My message today is called The Kiss of Betrayal. And it's going to come from a very familiar scripture. But by the end of it, I hope that we're able to see something new within ourselves and in our walk with God. And I'm going to look at my notes a lot, because sometimes I get off track. And sometimes I look out at you guys and you might look like you've fallen asleep, and that discourages me. So I'm going to look at my notes. We're going to begin in Luke 22. Again, forgive me for my emotional state. I'm really grateful to God right now. Luke 22, the focus of our talk today will be on verses 47 through 53. So I will read the passage and we'll just dive into it as we go forward. It says, "And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude. And he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, 'Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?' When those around him saw that what was going to happen, they said to him, 'Lord, shall we strike with a sword?' And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, 'Permit even this.' And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, 'Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness.'" To me, that's so powerful. He could have changed the whole narrative right then and there. But he said, "I permit even this, because in this moment, this is what is supposed to happen." My title today is an oxymoron. You know, a kiss is a form of affection, intimacy, and betrayal is quite the opposite. It's a total breach of trust. It causes us to shut down. It takes us away from wanting to be in relationship with others. How many of you have ever experienced betrayal? You don't have to tell us what it is, but how many of you know what it's like to have someone that you could not imagine doing something to you that you never dreamed they would or were capable of doing? Jesus found himself in that situation only because he does not operate in time like we do. He saw all the pieces of it from the very beginning. Now, can you imagine knowing up front who it is that they would do whatever it is that they were going to do to you? Think in your mind right now about something that hurts you so deeply. Some of us think that we would have rather to know that information up front. Well, I just wish I would have known. But we really don't. Let's return to verse 47. I'm going to read 47 and 48 again. And it says, "And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude. And he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him." He could have pointed. He could have just said, "Now is the time." It was such betrayal because he laid out a false pretense of his relationship with Jesus. And that's what makes betrayal so deceitful and hurtful to us, is because you could have just done this, but you acted like you were with me. You acted like we were in relationship. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" You didn't have to do it like this. You could have just done it the way that any other person who's betraying me has, because I really do see the real you right now. That is what he was saying. Jesus knew ahead of time which disciple it was that would betray him, and he still kept him close. John 6:64 shows us that. And it says, "But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him." What if God gave us that information? We wouldn't know what to do with it. I know we think we're super saved and can handle a lot of stuff, spiritual warfare even, but this we cannot handle. This kind of information is a truth too much for us to bear. It's possible, I believe, to get to a place where we're walking so intimately with God that he shares hard truths with us, but that only happens when he can trust us to respond the way that he would in that situation. And it's a situation by situation kind of thing. Most of us would have done what one of Jesus' disciples did, cut off that ear. "Oh, I will take care of this. I'll handle this." He said, "No, permit even this." And if you and I aren't there, that's something that we shouldn't be ashamed of, that we would react that way. All that shows is that we need to rely on God to show us what to do in any and every situation. And that in and of itself is a strength, to say, "God, I don't know what to do, because here's where I am. I need you to take over right now." Typically, God doesn't tell us ahead of time who will betray us, because he knows we would automatically lose trust in that person. We'd stop being around them. We'd limit communication. We'd be on guard, waiting and anticipating the moment that it happened. "See, I knew you were going to do that." We're on guard, trying to figure out when it will take place. And the reason we say that is because somehow we think that's going to lessen the sting. But even if you knew when it happens, it would still hurt. Losing trust in someone we thought we were close to, someone we were in relationship with, causes us to lose faith in all relationships that we have, even with God himself. And that's why he doesn't tell us up front. Because if we're walking around guarded, not letting people in, not letting people see the real us because we're afraid of what they'll do, we're also guarding ourselves from God himself. We become cynical, programming our minds to see the negative side of people rather than the good in them. And God does not want us to walk around like that. He doesn't want us on guard. He doesn't want us holding up or building a wall. He doesn't want us walking around isolated because we're too afraid to trust other people. Because ultimately, that keeps us from relying and trusting in him. He doesn't want us walking around distrustful of humankind. He created us to experience the fullness of living and loving. He wants us in relationship with one another because that is what he created us to do. And when we stop doing that with people, we will eventually stop doing that with him. And there's no exception to it. God said that he created man and that man should not be alone. So if we isolate ourselves and cut off the relationships that he's allowed us to walk in, we're not walking in his will. We can take Adam and Eve, for example. They could each argue that they were betrayed by the other in a way. And they allowed that situation to cut off the relationship they had with God. They even then blamed God. Adam saying, "You gave me this woman." You know, it all goes back to someone believing that it's an outside source causing that. When really, when these situations happen, it's God trying to awaken us and let us know where we are. Betrayal usually blindsides us, which is why it's so hurtful. It causes us to lose sight of the truth. We're too focused on what happened to us that the natural response, meaning carnal, is the only thing we can focus on. I won't talk to them anymore. I won't do this. I won't do that. Our first response is not usually, "Oh, God, you know what? I just believe that they were not operating in the fullness of who you created them to be today. And I'm going to forgive them for that, you know, because that wasn't who they truly are, Lord. I don't believe that. We don't do that. God, did you see what they did to me? How could you allow this to happen?" We say, "God, why did I have to experience this? What was the purpose in it?" And really, if we're honest, more often than not, what we're saying is, "God, where were you when this happened? You say your plans for me are good, to prosper and not harm me, for good and not evil. So why did this have to happen?" I, too, have been battling certain health issues for a couple of years now. And I'll give a small example first. Ever since I can remember, I've gotten cold sores, the most awful of cold sores. Okay, not just the little one that sits in the corner. I'm talking about a big bubble on the lips. Sometimes one grows on top of that one, like horrendous. Okay. And of course, ever since I was younger, I would try to pray them away. I'm like, "God, take this away from me. I don't like this. It's embarrassing. I got made fun of all throughout school. People would say I had AIDS and just all kinds of stuff. Kids are cruel." But it was difficult for me to have that and constantly be praying for that healing and not see it manifest. If I'm honest, that's difficult. And it made me feel like my prayers weren't effective because it was still there. I did have to shift my perspective because my mom reminded me, "Well, do you get them as often as you used to?" "No, but I still get them." And that bothered me. And I'm just talking about me. I'm just being honest. And I always wondered, if I can't even win this battle with a cold sore, how would I handle something bigger? I'm talking about me. God, how could I trust that you could deliver me from cancer, which runs rampant in my family? And that I'm always told, by this age, you need to do this. By this time, you have to do this. How can I believe truly that I could win that battle if something such a small thing as a cold sore I have yet to defeat? So I went to the doctor recently. And I had to go in for a particular thing. Results came back. They're like, "Oh, we need you to come back in for some testing. We need to do a biopsy." I'm like, okay, you know, kind of annoying. I'm like, here we go again, because I've been through this before. But for some reason, I felt okay. Of course, fear did try to creep in, but I didn't let it. I kept believing everything was okay and praying for God to heal me and just standing on his word throughout the situation. So after the second round of testing, I was feeling good. My doctor says she didn't really have any concerns and that they were just kind of going through the motions just to be sure that everything was okay. So I was okay, and I was happy with that. Well, another week goes by,
And I get the dreaded phone call. I actually missed the phone call. It's at work. So I missed the call. I called back. The nurse answers. And I knew it was something then because I said, hey, I'm just calling because Dr. So-and-so called. I just want to, you know, return the call, see if everything's okay. Oh, yeah, Crystalyn. Yeah, she's going to have to call you back. You can't just tell me that everything's okay now. Well, you know, I don't know exactly what it is that she was going to share with you. So that'll need to come from her. Okay. Thanks. So I call the doctor back and she tells me, well, Crystalyn, it did come back. You know, it's not cancer yet, but we don't know when it'll happen. It could be 6 months from now. It could be a year. It could be 10 years. But if you don't get this surgery, that's what it's going to lead to. So even now I'm like, how? I don't have cancer. I don't. And I know how horrible that felt to even think that that's a possibility. So I feel like, how can I even complain about this? But it was scary. And it is. She said, well, we need you to come in and get this surgery done. Because if not, this is what's going to happen. She explained what's taking place in my body and how the bad cells are basically feeding each other right now. And so that I have to get them removed before they start to spread and cause that. I felt betrayed a little bit by my doctor who told me when I left that everything was fine. I felt betrayed by my body. I felt a little bit betrayed by God. Like, I was fine, Lord. When I left the last appointment, I was feeling so optimistic. I felt like everything was okay. I didn't have fear. Like I was seriously thinking, I'm just going to go through the motions just to be sure everything's okay. And I felt good. He's like, exactly. Why would I take you out of that space of feeling good and confident and sure of yourself and in me and my ability? Why would I take you out of that place? So here I was. Why did I have to experience this? Why am I going through this? I tried to schedule the surgery sooner than later because, again, their timeline, they don't know. They're only operating on 10%. So I did try to go ahead and get the surgery scheduled, put in for my time off from work, denied. I haven't been there for a long time, so I'm still trying to, I can't take a lot of time off. It's difficult to do. So I put in for this, and that was fearful. Okay. So when is it going to be pushed back for then? I thought I was going to be able to get the surgery on this date. And now that's pushed back because my job is telling me, oh, we're not approving the time off. And God said, do not fear. I've been with you the whole time. They think they know what's going on in your body, but they don't. Trust me. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, this is where he wants us. Not exactly knowing what's going to happen next, but saying, God, where am I right now? Why am I here? What is the purpose in it? He told me, you know how good it felt after that second testing. Why would I want you to stress and have bad thoughts like, oh, what if this is cancer? What if it is this? No, just like you were walking around then, that's how I want you to be now. Surgery or no surgery, that is what I want you to walk in. Total confidence that I'm taking care of it. The truth is, when we feel betrayed, there's the potential to gain so much wisdom and understanding from the situation if we keep our eyes fixed on him. I had a situation at a job before where someone told something very personal about me to others just to have something to talk about. And it wasn't even something that I willingly shared with the person. They found this information out because of their position. It was a family situation and domestic, so to speak, and they told others. That felt like betrayal. I wanted to say something, but I learned how to let God avenge on my behalf. Was it hard? Oh, yeah. But my faith deepened, and I grew from that experience. We could grow. If when we feel betrayed, we go to God first, whether it's our body, a circumstance, a person, when something comes against us in a way that we don't expect, who are we running to? Today feels like a betrayal in a way. I live with my in-laws and my husband are currently on their way to a wedding that It's my husband's sister, and my children and I are not invited because we're not welcome to certain family events on that side of the family. So that feels like a betrayal, to be in a space where you're not wanted, where you're not welcome, and for really no legitimate reason. But God has a plan for it all. I wouldn't really care so much for myself about going, even if I had been invited. Honestly, I don't think I would have attended. But for my children who ask, well, Daddy and Grandma and Papa are going, you know, why aren't we? And the only thing I could think to say was, God has us somewhere different today. And they actually didn't question anything else after that, which I'm so surprised about because I don't know what I would have said. And with my two inquisitive ones, they pester me with questions all the time. It doesn't just stop with one. So when I said that God has us somewhere different today, I had to let that settle inside of me. That pastor asked me to speak today. This is where I'm supposed to be right now. Letting this message sink inside of me. Not worry about where I'm welcome and where I'm not, who loves me and who doesn't. I'm right where God wants me to be. So all of this really isn't even the main focus of the message. So we're about to get there because it's not just about being betrayed. We all experience that and we all will continue to in some way, shape, or form. But how do we get past that is the question. It's time for us to betray our betrayal. It's time for us to say, yes, that happened and it may happen again, but where will I be the next time that this takes place? So the question I asked earlier about who's ever been betrayed, don't raise your hands, but how many of us are willing to admit that we've been on the other side of that coin? That there's someone out there who could say they've been betrayed by us. Jesus's disciples had to ask themselves the same question. In the book of John, when Jesus mentioned that one of the 12 would deceive him, none of them were too certain that he wasn't talking about them. Is it I, Lord? It's not me. Is it Jesus? We cool, right? They weren't too sure that he wasn't talking about them. And that's what we have to ask ourselves. God, in this situation where I feel betrayed, is there a situation where I've caused someone to feel this way? Where I've done that to someone else. So how do we heal from betrayal? In no particular order, I feel like God gave me some ways to do that. And obviously, read God's word. The only way to really know what God is saying about us, our situations, is to get into his word. And we know that. Forgive, not just others, but yourself. Sometimes we feel like we're to blame because we trusted someone and we should have known better. Why did I allow myself to do that? I should have known I couldn't trust a man. I should have known, or a woman, whatever the situation may be. But forgive others as well as yourself. Remain open to God throughout the situation, especially. And talk to people who are willing to share their losses, failures, and experience so that you can see how they went from how they became victorious after experiencing despair. And I think of Robert right there because God gave me these notes and it made me think of you. We have to hear these things. We have to know what people are experiencing because this is real life. And if we just sit back and think, well, I'm not going to talk about it because we're not helping ourselves or anybody else grow. We don't just go through these things for the benefit of us, but it's to help the people around us. Most importantly, and what we tend to do, don't make the betrayal about you. I know that is shocking because it happened to you. It happened to me. It's actually about the other person and how they chose to respond in a situation, but how you reacted to that. Don't feel betrayed by God because he allowed it to happen. Because really what he's trying to do is teach us where we are on our spiritual journey more than he's trying to teach us about anyone else and their character or lack thereof. It's a spiritual check, so to speak. Where am I right now? Do I still let offense in? Jesus walked with a man for over 3 years that he knew would betray him and never closed his heart to him. He never stopped allowing that person into his space. What do we do in those situations? When is the last time someone betrayed you and you didn't let it alter the relationship? I'm not saying it shouldn't. It's just a question for me too. But we don't do that. The next time you feel as though you've been betrayed, ask God, what was the purpose in this? Show me how I was supposed to grow. Because then it will happen again, okay? But that's because God is trying to get you to a place where you say, ooh, I've grown. I didn't do what I did last time. Do I love more? Do I love less? Am I more open? Am I more closed off? These are the questions that we have to ask ourselves when we feel like someone has betrayed us or offended us in some way. The kiss of betrayal is God's invitation to us to come to a wedding where we are the bride and he is the groom and nothing else matters. We exchange vows to one another, profess our love, and walk down the aisle together to finish this journey through life hand in hand. That is why we say it's the kiss of betrayal, because just as much as it feels bad, God's right there with us in that moment, drawing us into him and saying, I've been here the whole time. I want you to draw near to me in these moments. Just as Judas went to Jesus falsely, God wants us to draw to him in these situations and run to him and not be closed off, not to cover our face, but to allow him to kiss us. And we kiss him back and say, I refuse to let the stain of that situation determine who I am going to be and how I treat others. And that's all I've got.
Thank you, Chris. That's heavy. It's a lot to think about. But as you were ministering, Crystalyn, I was over here humming this old song. And I wondered when it was being sung years and years ago, did we even have a clue of what it meant to be like Jesus? To be like Jesus. How I long to be like him. So meek and lowly, so high and holy. Oh, how I long to be like him. How I long to be like Jesus. Oh, how I long to be like him. So meek and lowly, so high and holy. Oh, how I long to be like him. And if that is a sincere desire of our heart, then we will be betrayed.